The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, with the cost of crude oil having exceeded $90 a barrel for the first time in almost 6 weeks, experts are warning that a surge in price will be reflected at the pumps on our forecourts over the coming days. And for more on this, I'm joined now by Muireann Lynch, energy economist and senior research officer with the ESRI. Muireann, this ongoing issue in Iran is obviously bad for consumers. Tell us what we can expect. Is it simply price of crude goes up, everything else goes up in tandem?
Yeah, so when oil prices go up, oil markets are, no pun intended, what we call very liquid. And that means that when the kind of Brent, the crude price goes up, you will see that pretty much immediately on the forecourts in terms of petrol, diesel, home heating oil, that kind of thing. There are other types of fuels where it takes a while to feed through. So that would be things like natural gas, electricity. But once oil prices go up, your petrol and diesel prices tend to go up pretty quickly. So the real question is, how long is the spike going to last? All we know right now is Brent has gone up today. So we should see fuel prices go up in the next few days. But the question is, like, is this another short spike or is it the harbinger of kind of protracted weeks or whatever?
Sure. That lag time you talked about, we heard about that all after the Ukraine-Russia conflict kicked off, and that was because that was gas that was affected. So this is totally different. Am I right in thinking there's two things happening? One is nothing's exiting the Strait of Hormuz, which, you know, 80-90% of crude oil was supposed to go out through. So that's problematic. But also, we are hearing, and I know we are only getting limited access to what's going on in Iran, but that much of the refinery infrastructure has been hit. And that's going to be a problem for the longer term, isn't it? Even if the strait were to open.
Exactly, yeah. So the actual kind of, you've got refined and unrefined products coming through the strait itself. And that's just a case of getting it on a ship and sending it out. But if you hit a refinery, then that actually damages the infrastructure. So that damages how much oil we can refine and therefore how much oil we can supply at any given time. So if the conflict were to end tomorrow and the Strait of Hormuz were to open tomorrow, then anything that's kind of just on a ship waiting to get out can obviously go. But the hit to the infrastructure means that we're looking at more of a medium term to long term hit until all that infrastructure can be rebuilt, essentially.
And do we have any idea, Muireann, how long that might be? Or is that a function of how badly it has been damaged and how, I suppose, readily those in Iran can actually rebuild it in terms of their abilities, their, you know, in the wake of the ongoing conflict?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it is a function, obviously, of how badly it was damaged. And we don't know that at this point. But what I would say is when this kind of kicked off, there was some infrastructure damaged and it seemed to be repaired and kind of getting it, the hit to supplies wasn't as bad as I would have expected. So that is hopeful in that if things were to calm down, maybe the infrastructure hit wouldn't be super long. But it's all kind of contingent on when we can expect things to stop being hit.
Okay, so maybe lastly then, are we talking about, you know, a spike now, and we may see that happen in our Apple Greens and our Circle K's around the country, that the prices are about to go up. But this isn't going to taper off instantly either, that there's going to be a lag of weeks, if not months, if not the rest of the year or something like that, in terms of getting back to where we might have been before this conflict started.
Yeah, it really depends on the first of all, how long this current spike lasts, and then also how badly and the infrastructure is damaged. It really comes down to what is crude oil doing. All we know for now is that crude oil has spiked today. And the question for the longer term is really, well, what does crude oil do next week, next month? And I would say, you know, we're not at the point yet where we're saying it's definitely panic stations for the winter, but nor would I be saying this will be over very soon. We're just in that kind of uncertain space right now.
Look, thank you very much for joining us on that. That's Muireann Lynch there, energy economist and senior research officer with the ESRI. I'm also joined by Piers Doherty, Sinn Féin TD for Donegal and spokesperson on finance. Piers, you have been obviously critical of the government's response to the fuel prices increases, but you heard what Muireann has to say. We don't really know where we're going here in terms of where we're seeing probably acute rises on the way this week, but this could go on for months, you know, to a greater or a lesser extent. Is a watchful waiting not the correct approach?
Well, that is not what the government's taken. That's not the approach that they've taken. They've passed the legislation. It has passed both houses of the Oireachtas now. It is now law, and they plan to increase the price of diesel between now and the 1st of December by 34 cents. The first increase taking place when the Dáil isn't even sitting, so they will have no power to actually stop that increase, because the only way you could stop it is through a financial resolution, or the Dáil would have to be recalled. And we made the point very clear to them that on the day before they passed this legislation, Trump announced that the ceasefire was over, that prices were beginning to rise. We're seeing, unfortunately, that play out over the last week. You know, the idea that you would be back, you know, in December paying over €2 for a litre of diesel in the middle of a cost of living crisis is simply unacceptable. And as I said, there's no way that me or Sinn Féin could support that. There's no way I could go back to my constituents and say that I understand the pressure you're under, but yet just voted to increase diesel by 34 cents, okay.
I know I'm being a little bit semantic here, but they're not actually increasing the price of diesel. They're cutting the decrease that they had applied to excise, which is subtly different.
Let me just one clarification. First of all, diesel will be, they'll be putting more tax on diesel by the 1st of December than existed at the start of the year, because their plan is to continue to increase taxes on diesel, not just in October with additional carbon taxes, but they're planning to do that every single year for the next 4 years. And that goes to the very core of this issue. The government genuinely believe that if they increase the price of diesel to a point which it's really punitive, then it's going to force everybody into electric cars and to change their ways. That will work for some people because they will have the extra money. They will be able to buy an electric car. For most people, it will not work. And all you're doing is making life harder, making people poorer, and you're penalizing people. And, you know, there is a real question that has to be asked. Why do we tax diesel more than any other country in Europe? And I think it's because the government has got a flawed approach in relation to this here, and they really need to rethink what they're doing.
In fairness, Pierce, they actually didn't bring in the carbon tax increase. They froze that the last time. And they have said that this is going to be continued to be reviewed the whole time. Is that not a reasonable approach? The fact that they haven't said, look, we're doing this come hell or high water. They have said that they're going to keep their eye on the price and where it's at. And they acted previously when the prices at the beginning of all of this spiked. So can you not trust in their bona fides now, you don't think?
So two things. First of all, they only froze the increase that was supposed to happen in May for home heating oil. And they're now that's going to take place in October. They didn't freeze the carbon tax increase for petrol or diesel at all. And that is why, again, it's going to go up again in October, along with replacing all of the taxes that they've reduced by. So just to make that clear. But they're not even finished in there. They're going to increase it every single year for the next 4 years after that. In terms of the government's bona fides in this year, I genuinely believe that they are doing the wrong thing. I do not think it is appropriate to continue to tax diesel at the level that you're planning to tax. I think that the idea of the carrot and stick approach doesn't work when all you have is a stick. All you have is you're beating people with higher prices. And like, people are really, really struggling at the minute. So, you know, the wait and see approach is what we've been arguing for. We're not suggesting that you continue to keep, you know, diesel prices or the taxes as low as they are at this point in time. But what we are saying is that you cannot and you should not be increasing the price of diesel at a time when the Dáil isn't even sitting, because we don't know.
So what would Sinn Féin do differently, and how much would it cost the country if you were to do whatever your plan would be?
So we put forward an amendment. We were the only political party, and we've been consistent in that. We're the only political party who shows up for these debates and puts forward an amendment on behalf of people who are struggling out there. And our amendment was very clear. No taxes should be increased in the price of petrol and diesel until the budget. At that time, it should be reviewed. We should be looking at where the market is at, what people are being charged at the pumps. So let me make it clear. If people are being charged 190, for example, some places at the minute today are charging 180 for diesel. But if they were charged 190, of course we shouldn't be increasing in diesel or petrol at that point in time. We need to support people in the middle of a cost of living crisis. And if you increase the taxes on diesel, what you're doing is you're pushing up inflation as well. So there is a spillover effect. It's not just the person who's filling at their pumps, but it's also everybody else. This will also apply to hauliers, it will apply to contractors, it will apply to farmers.
Well, they have made special case for all of those, as you know.
And all of that is running out. All of that is running out, Ciara. This is the problem. All of it's running out. And the thing about it is what's not changed is the price of diesel or petrol has not gone back down to where it needs to be. And that's why we've said, and the legislation I brought forward at the very, very start, before Easter, was a position where you monitored the international prices of petrol and diesel on a weekly basis, and you acted fluidly. Obviously, if the price
and
comes
Pierce,
down,
have you caused
you
this?
Tax.
If you fully insulate people yes. to the extent that you're talking about from these price hikes or from these excise cuts, what's that going to cost the exchequer?
Well, to implement the amendment that we had to extend this to a budget day was the cost of 250 million euro. That was the cost of it. And I can give you the cost of what it costs every 10 cent to reduce petrol and diesel and all of that. All of that's costed. And the resources are there within the state. We're all familiar with the fact that there's €9 billion of a surplus. That's money that we're not using, but it does need to be used, or a portion of it needs to be used at this point in time to support families, to support workers.
And all of the watchdogs, the Fiscal Advisory Council, the ESRI, all of them who are saying that we're actually overspending, that this government is running up huge degrees of spending. We're going to have to borrow, in fact, if we want to actually keep our rainy day funds stocked up. Do you take no account of any of that? The fear that we are living sort of beyond our means, bar the means that are coming from corporate tax, which is considered to be a very unstable source of funding.
Okay. So first of all, let me be clear. I am concerned at the level of spending in terms of the government. I see huge amount of waste every time from this government. I see a government that just shrugs their shoulders when 50 million is wasted by Éireann Ró Éireann on a failed IT project and nobody is held accountable. I see at the same time communities like my own community who's looking for very small
levels
of investment.
But when you say no one's held accountable, are you saying that if Sinn Féin was in government and such a thing were to come about, that they would go after public sector workers and hold them accountable, have them sanctioned, have them fired? I mean, I can't see it. I can't see it, Pierce.
But first of all, it is the minister who oversees this level, the Minister for Public Expenditure, the robust procedures that are in place. There is nothing. There is no accountability whatsoever. So what are we supposed to have? Are we supposed to have a situation where hospitals just triple in cost, that roads continue to go over budget, that Éireann Ró Éireann does failed IT projects
so
one
you're saying
after
Sinn
the other,
see,
and
on the
nobody
one hand,
is held accountable?
You're saying Sinn Féin is going to keep a tighter hold on the purse strings. But on the other hand, you're saying, let's throw 250 million at this problem when the government is saying, no, we can't afford to do that at the moment. We're going to wait and see. So you're sort of saying contradictory things, that you're going to be
Not
tighter on spending,
Let
but you're going to spend more.
Let me be clear. We will absolutely be strict and tight in relation to wasteful spending. How can you justify 50 million euro, mostly on consultants and project developers, for a project that isn't going to exist? And then say, well, we can't actually support the person down the road who needs their car to travel out to work 40 miles every single day, and to support them in terms of being able to make that a journey. It's about different levels of spending. So we're very clear, workers and families need support at a time of crisis. Do we hope that this crisis is over? Is some of it outside of our control? Absolutely. But there is a responsibility on a government to stand up and protect its citizens at a time of need. And for far too many people, this is a time of need.
All right.
And one of the ways that you can support them is by making sure that the price of petrol and diesel is at an appropriate level. But even outside of that, going back to the point I'm saying, we have to have a conversation about why do we tax petrol and diesel more than any other country in Europe? Why do we decide to
and
do that?
And you may well be right in your supposition there that it is as a stick rather than a carrot, but to push people towards EVs. But we do have a set of carbon budget targets to hit, we have to reduce our emissions, and we're not doing it to the degree we want. And Sinn Féin stands on the carbon
working.
Tax. Well, carbon tax hasn't even been fully implemented.
But the carbon taxes
are they
have
not trying with the carbon tax to move people in that direction? How are you going to hit emissions if we don't have a carbon tax?
This,
and there's no incentive or disincentive for people to change.
First of all, the best incentive, I live in rural Ireland, I live in West Donegal, the best incentive for people to change is to make sure, first of all, that we have the infrastructure in terms of EVs, that we have the support in terms of grants, but crucially, that we actually have the public transport that we need, that people can get out of their own cars and actually into public transport. So when you had, I go back to Éireann Ró Éireann, and they made the point that there will be no new rail services, no new additional bus services this year because of the overspend that they did, the 50 million that they blew. That's wasteful. That hurts not only, you know, the environment, but it hurts the society that we live in. So the carbon taxes do not work when the alternatives are not there and affordable for people. The experiment has happened. We've had diesel costs up at 220. Everybody wasn't running out and buying an electric vehicle the next day. What they're doing is they're just being poor. They've got less money in their pocket and they're finding it more difficult to get by. So what we need is a different approach, actually the heavy lifting approach, which is about making ensure that the proper investments are there in terms of the alternative energies we have, whether it's offshore, whether it's onshore, but also the type of public transport investment that we have argued for year after year, but the government continues to fail to deliver it at the scale that we need it.
Piarc Doherty, Sinn Féin TD for Donegal and spokesperson on finance, thank you very much for joining us.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.